We're going to do pretty quick work tonight. We got a big week ahead of us. And so you need to be well rested for what's going to happen to us. I'm excited about next week and what God is going to do in our lives. Turn to Genesis, the first chapter. I want to go to the 26th verse. Tonight, I want to reiterate to you the importance of controlling your soul. For so long, the body of Christ has put the soul on a back burner. And we missed the whole point about why God gave us a soul or gave us a mind. We see in this 26th verse of the first chapter of Genesis, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." The original plan for your soul, that God has for your soul, is very simple. It's for you to think like him. That's the original plan that God has for your soul. It's for you to think like him. Why would he make us after his likeness, after his image, after him, and expect us to think less? So now you know that God's original plan for your soul was for you to think like him. Now you can understand why he let Genesis 2 verses 16, 17, and 19 happen. Turn there. Jump one chapter over. Go to the 16th verse. Now, people thought thinking this was just about food, trees, eating off the tree of life, living forever. But this was about soul control. Because God is telling Adam how to protect his soul. Watch the 60 verse. Lord God commanded a man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." That's soul control. That's God telling Adam how to protect his soul. Okay, go to chapter 3. Watch this, I'm going to show you this. Because we see something happen when they didn't protect their soul. Why should your soul be protected? Your soul should be protected because when he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," the first thing crossed God's mind was, "I want him and her to be a spirit." Yeah. I want them to have a soul like me. The body was the last thing. So God was really focused on the spirit and the soul. Yes, sir. And the body was the very last thing that he put together to put those things in. Yes, sir. Are you seeing this? Yes, so the reason why you got to protect your soul is that your soul is the very seat in the natural that allows you to act like God. Because you first got to know how before you do anything. See, your spirit, by your spirit been made like God's spirit. You already have on inside of you, you already have all the answers. You have all the power. You have all the insight. You have everything you need in your spirit. But your soul is the escape valve for what's in your spirit. Satan knows this. That's why in chapter 3, verse 2. This is what he said in verse 2. Well, let's see what he said in verse 1. He said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord of God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now he's having a play on words here. Didn't he say he was subtle? When your soul is not protected, when your soul is not guarded, when you are not conscious of your thoughts and your soul and what's happening around you, Satan will play on words with you. Because God was talking about being separated from him, not physical death. Satan had her thinking physical death. So because she didn't protect her soul, because Adam didn't protect their soul, they gave Satan access to their soul. Satan don't care about your spirit. He don't really care about your body. He's only concerned about your soul. If he can get access to your soul, he can cap off your spirit, and he can make your body do anything. So Satan is after your soul. So this is why you have to control your soul. You have to guard your soul. You have to guard your mind. You have to guard your thoughts. What Apostle is teaching us apostolically about the soul is the most important as one. Watch this. It's the most important aspect of our Christian walk with God. Because without you being, now watch this. You gotta control your soul. You gotta control your soul. Nobody can do this for you. That's why Satan doesn't want us to be in our right mind. I'm not talking about crazy. Satan don't want you to be conscious. He wants you to be unaware. See, Jesus told the disciples, I want you to pray and watch. See, Satan don't mind you praying and not watching. He don't mind you. Matter of fact, Satan don't mind you coming to church. Because in church, what Satan has done in the church, he's tapped into one of our aspects of our soul, and he's tap dancing on it. And we with him tap dancing on it, we think we all right. Satan don't mind you coming to church and letting your emotions be tapped. You know, coming to church is just like going to school or going to any college. It's wonderful when you get your high school diploma. It's wonderful. We celebrate that, and you should. You worked hard to get there. It's wonderful when you get your college degree up. But what's the purpose of you doing all that? It has to translate into your everyday life. Wonderful you got a college degree. But that college degree got to translate to that job. If it don't translate to that job, you eventually gonna get fired. Satan don't mind you coming to church. He don't mind you being faithful. He doesn't mind that at all. Long as he got access to your soul, he'll let you come to church all day, every day, just so long he has access to your soul. And so this is why we have to be vigilant in protecting and guarding our soul, being vigilant in controlling our thoughts. Be vigilant. One of the principles that I operate in my life that I taught to my children is very effective for me. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. And your actions bring certain results. So based on any of that, if I want my results to change, I got to change how I'm acting. If I want to change how I'm acting, I got to change how I feel. If I want to change how I feel, I got to change what I'm thinking. If I won't change what I'm thinking, I got to watch what's in my environment. Yeah. That's good. So what Satan does, Satan wants to influence your environment. That's all he did to Eve. He came into Eve's environment and made a suggestion. And because she didn't protect her soul, 2 Corinthians 10. God has always planned for us to think like him. And Satan knows this. That's why Satan, see a lot of times we think Satan attacked our bodies. Apostle, I love it when Apostle, he was driving on a golf cart and he came to me. He said, you know, he said it Sunday. I think it was Sunday. He said it Sunday. He might say it last Wednesday. But he said, you know, that Satan don't attack us in our body. He attack us in our soul when it shows up in our body. Yeah. Satan wants access to your soul. That's the issue with sin. Sin is just simply a person that has been attacked in their soul by Satan. So it caused their body to act. It caused them to do certain things. Because your body can't do nothing without your soul. So there's no such thing as the devil made me do it. No, as the devil suggested it and I did it. The devil suggested it and I chose to do it. See, when you can't give your power away. Every time, one of the things I love about the apostolic, one of the things I'm loving about the apostolic is personal responsibility. I accept responsibility for everything that happens in my life, good and bad. Because if I don't accept accountability for what I don't like in my life, that means I no longer have the power to change it. When you do not accept accountability for what you don't like in your life, you do not have the power to change it because you think somebody else done it to you or some other reason why this happened to you. But when you, I don't care if somebody did you wrong, I accept responsibility because they mean I can change that wrong done to me. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let me get there. Second Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse verse 5. This the Apostle Paul gave us exactly how to protect your soul. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that means I have to be conscious and on guard at all times with my soul. Meaning I decide who's in my environment. I decide what I'm listening to. I decide who I let talk to me. I decide that. Nobody else can decide that. So by me being vigilant and conscious of controlling my soul, that means I'm controlling my environment. So now that I'm controlling my environment, I can now be aware of every thought that's coming in. Now, having control of your soul is not good enough. Because when you have control of your soul, you're going to have to compare them thoughts to something.
Yeah, that's good.
If you don't have nothing to compare them thoughts to, then how you going to know where they come from? This is why you have to, Romans 12. Now notice, all these things you got to do. All these things you got to do. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's Romans 12 and 2. By the renewing of your mind. I love this scripture. Why does my mind need to be renewed? So that I can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when my mind is renewed with the word of God, And I'm controlling my soul, that means if anything slips into my environment and tries to suggest something to me, I got the word of God already sitting there waiting on it. Already sitting there waiting on it to judge it against. Is this making sense? See, Satan, he loves for us to stay entertained. He loves for us to stay entertained and loves for us to be emotionally driven. Because when you're emotionally driven, you ever been around somebody who's just overly emotional? They are hard to deal with. They're always in their feelings. You can't say nothing around them. They always think somebody attacking them. That's emotionally driven. When a person is emotionally driven and they can't control their soul, you can manipulate them. So Satan don't mind us coming to church and getting excited. He don't mind us coming to church and getting emotionally driven, because then he can control you. He can control you because when something comes up in your life, you don't know what to do. You just not dance. You know how to cut a rug. You're not a dance in the spirit. And he sit there and wait for you to finish dancing in the spirit and say, now what you gonna do about what I'm doing? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God has always planned for us to think like him. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts. That's God talking to Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's God telling Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I've already thought about you. You can access these thoughts if you choose to. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Psalms 139:5. The psalmist David writing. Is it 139? Psalms 139, is that right? Where it says, my soul knows right well. 139:14, okay, 139:14. I wrote around the wrong scripture. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous all thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, if your soul knows how your body is designed, of course Satan want to have control. Because if he can disrupt your soul, he can disrupt your body. You see this?
Yes, sir.
Satan, and see, here's the thing. Entertainment out of its place is very dangerous. Do you know where entertainment originated from? Entertainment originated to get people mind. It's really in the Roman Empire. That's why they had the gladiators. They had the gladiators. They would get in the arena and fight. They would display men fighting to get, it was entertaining to people to get their minds off the oppression that the Roman Empire was placing on them, trying to make them conform to their way of living. They was applying pressure to different areas they have conquered in order to get their mind off of the oppression. They would have the gladiators fight to entertain them. So when they're entertained, they're no longer focused or conscious of what they're going through. See, we got entertainment all around us. How many of y'all just do this? You know, iPhone tries to help. I don't know if Android had one, but the iPhone try to help you and try to tell you how much time you spent on your phone. How many hours you've spent on your phone scrolling, being entertained, looking at other people's problems, looking at other people's successes, looking at other people's stuff, when your stuff right here going undone. See, Satan does not mind you being entertained or preoccupied. This is why when you sit in quiet with the word of God, your mind runs rampant. Because that's the moment Satan is trying to come bombard you, because he knows if you sit with the word long enough, you're going to make discoveries about your life that you couldn't make any other way. So he don't want you to sit with that word. He wants you to think that's the most boringest thing you can do in your life. But it is the most powerful thing you can do in your life, because whenever you sit with that word and renew your mind, now you are alert to everything in your environment. Nobody can't pull the wool over your eyes. Yes, sir. I receive. See, so Satan wants to make that seem like, so when apostle is here and he's just flat foot imparting to us, reading the notes that God gave him. Satan wants the sleep monster to come get you then. And you bobbing and weaving. Because he don't want you to do the most important thing, which is to guard your soul. Every time you sit with the Word of God, every time you let the Word of God enter your environment, you are guarding your soul. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He don't. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our what?
Daily bread."
Daily bread. So that means Jesus expects you to come back and get some more. Why? Because in Genesis, God told him, now listen, watch this, get the inner meaning of this. It wasn't about fruit. It wasn't about eating off the tree. It was about what was he consuming in his mind? That's what God really wants you to understand. What are you consuming in your mind? Because if you don't consume the right thing, your soul goes unprotected. So Jesus is praying, saying, give us this day our daily bread. Protecting your soul. You got to protect your soul. Nobody else can do this for you. Apostle can't do this for you. Your prayer warrior friend can't do this for you. Your super spiritual auntie can't do this for you. You got to protect your own soul. Watch this. Listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit gave me this statement about 2 or 3 years ago. Your spirit are the eyes of your soul into the spirit world. I'm gonna say it again. Your spirit are the eyes of your soul into the spirit world. Your soul are the eyes of your spirit into the natural. Your spirit gives your soul permission to access the spirit world. Your body gives your soul permission to access the natural. The soul can exist in either world. So because the soul can exist in either world, that's why Satan wants access to it. To block you from getting to the spirit world and to make you carnal in the natural world. Because if I can make you carnal down here, I can lock you up. Like the psalmist David said, he can put your soul in prison. And you can't maneuver. Hebrews 4:12. You know, reading the Word of God, just starting out reading the Word of God and disciplining yourself to spend time with the Word is no different than you have to discipline yourself to exercise. Exercise ain't at the beginning the funnest. It ain't fun at all. It ain't fun at all. It ain't fun at all. Sometimes I'm going to do my exercise and my mind is talking to me. But I'm telling it the whole time, shut up. Because after 2 or 3 minutes, my mind loving it. My mind loving it. I'm moving, I'm thinking about other things, my mind loving it. But it's the first few minutes. See, watch this. I got to fight through that. See, y'all looking for some supernatural intervention to come help you fight through that. No, you got to fight through that. That's your mind. Do you know the only part of the mind that God will not access is the part where you make decisions? God won't mess with that part. Satan can't mess with that part. Satan can mess with your memory. He can mess with your intellect. He can mess with every, but he won't, he cannot mess with the part where you make decisions. God will massage your memory. God will massage your intellect, but God won't mess with the part of your mind, of your soul, where you make decisions. If he did, then you'll be a slave. And you won't be made in his image. So Satan, again, Satan knows this. So he will not allow you to easily sit there with the word of God. Everything gonna come up. Everybody, all of a sudden, everybody gonna start texting. Everybody gonna want to start talking then. When you sit there, where all of a sudden now you done got sleepy. You know, now you done, oh, I forgot I gotta do this. Isn't that, I know I'm not the only one. Because Satan don't want you guarding every other aspect of your soul. He don't want you guarding it. He want it left open so he can come make suggestions when he get ready. That's why Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience, he said, ye, yes, you got to possess your soul. You got to be able to tell your soul, shut up and get quiet. Shut up, we're going to read this. Shut up. Now, if you're scared to tell yourself, shut up, then that means your soul is controlling you. Now, watch this. The enemy does not want us in our right mind. He wants us unconscious and unaware of our soul's activity. So he does this by keeping us in the past, keeping us in the future, keeping us distracted, or keeping us entertained. It's four things. It's the only four things he does. He keeps us in the past. He tries to take us to the future. He tries to keep us distracted. Are you seeing this? Or he tries to keep us entertained. So now watch this. How do I handle that? How do I handle when he tries to take me to the past, take me to the future, distract me, or keep me entertained? How do I handle that? It's very simple. You have to stay in the present moment. Listen, God is in your past. See, when we talk about God is omnipresent, we're not just talking about God is everywhere right now. When you're talking about omnipresent, that means God is everywhere in this present moment. God is everywhere in your past. God is everywhere in your future. But watch this. The only place you can meet him is in the present moment. The only place you can meet God is in the present moment. You can't meet God in your past. You can't meet God in your future. You're not designed to go there. God can only meet you in your present moment. So when you stay in the present moment, that's when God can talk to you. See, if you notice, Satan always trying to take you to your past. That's what he does. That's all he do. People try to take them in their past. Try to bring them in. He told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms. Jesus already. He already had. If Satan ever tries to make a suggestion to you about the present moment, you can automatically know he's already lying. If he ever tries to make a suggestion, all right, go back to Genesis. Watch this. Genesis, the third chapter. I'm almost finished. Genesis, the third chapter. I want you to see this. Anytime Satan tries to make a suggestion to you about the present moment, you can automatically know he's lying. You ain't even got to judge it. Because he cannot deal with truth. Because if he dealt with truth, he'll be agreeing with God. So if he's talking to you about your present moment, that's why he don't want to stay in your present moment. He want to get you in your past. He want to get you in your future. Genesis, the third chapter, watch what he says. Look at verse 4. Now he's talking to Eve about the eating off the tree. He said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God does know, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Here he is talking about a present moment situation. When you eat this fruit, what should he say? God knows you're going to be like. She already was. Satan is lying about their present moment situation. It wasn't an issue of whether she was going to become God when she eat the fruit. It wasn't a matter of her eyes were going to be open. Her eyes were already open. She just didn't protect her soul. So her eyes were open to stuff her soul wasn't ready for. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So when you have an unprotected soul, Satan exposed your soul to stuff you ain't ready for. And that's how he trips you up. He exposed your soul to stuff that you ain't ready for. And let me give you an example. Jesus was with the disciples and told the group of disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side, right? Storm came while they was in the boat. All they had to do was hold on to Jesus' present word. Was what? Go to the other side. The storm came, Peter got nervous, saw Jesus walking on the water and said, hey, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus couldn't deny himself. So he said, come on, Peter, walk. When Peter stepped out of that boat, now the reason why Peter stepped out of the boat is because he was in fear. So that means Satan had access to his soul. So he stepped out the boat. He then began to step into a situation he was not ready for. Jesus was ready for it because Jesus was doing it. But he wasn't ready for it. That's why he began to sink. Because his soul was exposed to a situation for which he wasn't ready for. So that's why you got to hold on to what Jesus is telling you so you can always be prepared for what's coming up. Is this making God your soul? Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. And what he said he'll do? For what? Your soul. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. He didn't say, I'll give you rest for your spirit. He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. So if I need rest for my soul, because that is the place where Satan attack vector is the most. Notice we say, come unto me. Come unto me. God said in Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason. Where you reason at? In your soul. Reason simply means I'm trying to figure things out. God said, come let us figure this out together. God wants you to put your mind with his mind. He already knows your spirit. He already knows your spirit is intact and ready to go. How he knows that? Because it's made in his image. It's made just like him. Ain't nothing wrong with your spirit. It's the soul. And so Satan wants us, again, to be unconscious, unaware of what is happening in our soul, so he can slip in. He was very subtle with Eve. He started playing with words with Eve. Started playing with words. And when he started playing with words and she didn't protect her soul, she began to entertain him. She didn't cast down. Why was she not able to cast down what he was saying, his imaginations? When you go further on, the Bible says that after they ate off the tree, that they made aprons out of figs and hid from the presence of God. That means they went a span of time without being in the presence of God. Anytime you go a while without being in the presence of God, you open yourself up for attack in your soul. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Anytime you go a period of time without spending time with God and what he's saying to you, you open yourself up for an attack. Satan say, oh no, you ain't gonna die. God know when you eat that fruit, when you eat off this tree, your eyes gonna be open, you're gonna be like him. When she was already like him. Because her soul wasn't protected, she was exposed to situations she wasn't ready for. So, when the apostle talks about our soul, one more script, watch this. This is, and I'm close right here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. God always designed for us to think like him. He always designed, always had it planned. Ephesians 4, watch this. Verse 13, he gave us the fivefold in 11. Verse 12 tells us why he gave us the fivefold: for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Semicolon, this is what this means. This is what perfecting means, maturing. This is what the work of the ministry means. This is what edifying the body of Christ means. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the. Do you know what that means? That means that God is expecting you to have the same knowledge that Jesus has. He's expecting you to have the same intelligence that Jesus had. That's why the Apostle Paul say, let this mind be in you. Allow it to overtake your thought process. You have to let it. God is expecting you to think like Jesus. He's expecting you to have the same intelligence that Jesus has. He's not expecting nobody else to do it for you. He's expecting you to do it. And so, you just got to put in the work. You just got to put in the work. I don't get credit. I don't get credit for apostle time with the Lord. I'm his son. I don't get credit. Lauren and Layla don't get credit for my time. They got to go for themselves. I can cover them so far. Apostle can cover me only so far, but at some point, I got to put in the work. I got to have my own experience. Which, when you spend time with God, it puts you in a position to have your own experience with him. When you have your, watch this, when nobody, people can debate the Bible. People can make the Bible say what it want to say. But people can't deal with my experiences with God. You can say what you want about the Bible, but I know what God has, is, and will do for me because I spend time with Him. Nobody can't take that from me. You can disprove all you want about what the Bible says. You can come up with some other kind of text where they say something crazy. But when I spend time with God and God shows up in my atmosphere, nobody can't take that. That's, watch this. That's where the confidence comes from to walk with God. When you yourself have an experience with God. Praise the Lord.